the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. What we gonna do? What they say?
This is the Car Doctor, my uncle, along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or text 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Oh, yeah. And welcome to our second edition of the our social distancing show.
Yeah.
Tom's at home, I'm at home, you know. Dalton's at the radio station, so hey, you know, we're keeping our distance. That's a good ways away. So
I don't think we could get no damn further.
That's right. And not have my phone pick up anyway. I'm actually having to sit out here in the truck to get a good signal. So
Lord, yeah, but put your antenna up on your truck, man.
Yeah. Well, it's comfortable. The air's on me. I'm comfortable, so it's all good. So, but
there you go.
Yeah. You know, it's it's, in these times, you just got to do what you got to do to make things happen. You know, it's life has to go on regardless. You know, it's bad stuff, and everybody has to keep their distance. But one way or another, we got to keep places open, keep things going, and try and make a living, and try and do our shows and all that. It's just sign of the times,
okay.
I guess. You know,
Kevin.
Yeah. Hello? Tom, you there?
So I think we might have already lost Tom. We were trying something new. Tom, can you hear us?
Yep. How about it? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yep. We got
all
you.
All right. What the deal is?
I don't know what the deal on that is. I think you dropped out. I believe I was there, but
after all this time I've been at home, my gerbil might be tired of making electricity, so I guess I might stop and feed him.
Yeah, you may have to give him a break before it's over with. But, But hey, it is what it is.
Pumping that little generator with that gerbil is just not going to make it through it, I don't believe.
Yeah, I know it. You know, gas is cheap enough. You can crank the gas generator up, you know. So.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. I can do that, man.
When
it starts getting down about $1.30 a gallon, man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start filling some cans up here around the house because you know it's not gonna stay down there. So,
I got a couple of plastic 55 gallon drums. I think I might fill them up, but then it wouldn't be nothing but a damn bomb. So I need to do that either.
No, and I don't want to keep that much gas in my shop either. So yeah, it's a. I'll fill my vehicles up and maybe a couple gas cans for the lawnmower, but I guess that'll have to do. Yeah.
There you go. Well, I'm sure that there's somebody out there that's listening to us tonight, Kevin, that's had some problems or has got some problems with one of their vehicles. And
Yeah, I'm sure. That's, you know, we've been gone long enough. I'm sure people have had cars break in the last month or so. But, yeah, I've actually been really surprised at how well our business has held up. You know, obviously we are a little slower than normal, but you know, we're still keeping a pretty good traffic flow coming through at UJ. So, you know, I really can't complain too much, to be honest with you. But we may have lost Tom. Tom, you with me?
Yeah, I think we did, and we did pretty well to get Tom along this far. I mean, he's actually, I'd say, pretty technically proficient, more technically proficient than you'd expect Tom to be. Tom, are you back there?
Watch yourself now. I could hear y'all, but y'all couldn't hear me. I think I'm going to go to the tie line, Dalton, and see if that works.
Yeah, I think we better try that. This sounds decent, but we'll try the tie line because we do know that works.
Yeah, the tie line worked a little better last week, so we'll try that one and see what happens, but you know, I tell you, it's you know, it's trying times for everybody. But you know, we're still there working. We're from 7 to 4:30 every day. We close on Saturdays, you know, for right now. But yeah, we're keeping a full crew working. So, you know, it's doing what you have to do to try and, you know, there's a lot of mouths to feed and a lot of cars that need to be fixed. So we just got to do what we got to do to move on. You know?
Yeah. What's it looked like as far as, you know, traffic coming into the store, looking around? Has it been up and down? Have you noticed over the last week as people, maybe last 2 weeks, as people get more stir crazy, have you seen more people around?
You know, it's I really think the traffic is getting busier. You know, for the first, you know, I guess we've been in this for what, about a month now, you know, and you know, when it first started, you know, the traffic even on airport was pretty thin. You know, we weren't getting any real traffic into the shop to speak of. You know, we still had a decent month last month, but you know, the last, we'd have had a great month if it wouldn't been for the last couple of weeks of it. But but really, I think it's turned around. I believe people have started, you know, getting out, moving around a little more, and kind of found ways to stay distanced and safe, but still try and function. You know, I think that's what we're going to have to do for a little while. You know, there's things that got to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, but you got to try and stay safe as well.
Yeah, have you noticed more masks from customers coming in, or is about the same as it has been?
You know, we've actually seen a few more people with masks on. A few of our people wear them, not that many at this point, you know, because we're still trying to keep our distance pretty well anyway,
right?
Even though we're there. But, you know, we have, you know, like most stores, we have, you know, some markings on the floor to keep people back a little bit away from the advisors and the cashiers. And, you know, we're not trying to be rude. We're just trying to keep ourselves, everybody safe, including the customers. You know, we're wiping everything down. We're doing everything we can, and you know, sanitizing vehicles, you know, on the way in and out. You know, if you come in for a test drive, you know, to drive a new vehicle, we're sanitizing it before you get in and when you get out of it. You know, so we're trying to keep everything as safe as possible. If you want to look at one and not actually come inside the dealership, we can arrange for that. Same way with the service department. You know, push come to shove, if we need to, we'll come get your car from you. Yeah,
that's great.
Within a certain distance, you know, we're just trying to make things happen. You know, and trying to service our customers best we can. You know, like I say, it's everybody needs some things done, but it's. You know, just trying to be as safe as possible about it.
Yeah, and it only makes sense. You know, the businesses that were deemed essential and were fortunate enough to continue to work through all this, you're going to, you know, using common sense, want to put those protection, not just for the health of everybody involved, but you're going to want to make sure that your customers are protected and that your employees are protected, because you've kind of been, you know, it's a gift that you're able to continue to work through this. So I love what you guys are doing and able to keep everything as safe as possible for those that are able to come in. And it is essential, because people, you know, you need vehicles. There's other people working essential jobs that need to be able to get around.
Right. Well, I mean, you've got to be able to go to the store to get food, you know. Need to be able to go to the bank to get money. You've got, you know, there's a lot of uses for a vehicle. Yeah, the need has, you know, dropped some, but you know, you still got to have a viable vehicle to get around. You know, if you need to get to a doctor, you got to be able to get in the car and go. You know, so it's all about just keeping things flowing. You know, I have seen people that are not spending the money for, you know, like maintenance stuff as much, maybe, but they're, you know, getting repairs done. You know, typical, the crowd that we normally have for our tax return, you know, checks, we didn't see that much of because of the where all this fell. But
yeah,
we've also had people using what I believe, and they haven't said it, but you know, using the stimulus check to get repairs done on their vehicles that were needed. So you know, it's all you know, it's working. You know, like I say, we're not 100%, but we're still keeping the doors open and keeping things going.
That's great. And looks like with a minute left in this segment here, looks like we might have the man back. Tom Claxton might be back on the air. Tom, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I hear you, but I had to come back on plate feed. I couldn't get in on the tie line.
We'll figure this out during the break, I think.
Yeah. All right, big guy. We can handle all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll try and get Tom in on a clean line here, but we'll carry on. It's part of the show, and we'll hopefully be back and in the studio next week and get beyond this point, and we'll have to just spread the chairs out a little more next week, I guess. So, but it's just one of the things we're having to do. Yeah. I know we're coming up to our break. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break. I'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart, free lover's soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the guarded gate. There's not much time for today.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor, and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Ramco, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. 340-0106. Tom, do we get you back online?
I think I can. You're not coming in real loud, but I can hear you.
Okay. As long as we can get through this, I think we'll be all right. But,
all right. Well, let me ask you this. We don't have any phone calls. Let me ask you a question.
All right.
There's a lot of mystery and ghost. And can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. And what we call a diagnostic fee, if you take a vehicle to a shop and you got a light blinking on your dash, just give us a little bit of background on how all of that gets involved in the fact that everything that can go wrong with a car is not necessarily going to show up on that diagnostic machine.
Right. And you know, when we're talking about diagnostics, you know, that yes, there is diagnostic equipment we hook to the vehicle, but unfortunately there's not a magic box yet to where you can hook it up and plug it up and it say, okay, this is exactly what's wrong with your car, put these parts on. Okay. I hope one day we get to that point. Don't see it in any time where I'm going to get to enjoy it, but I guess it can happen somewhere down the road. But with the diagnostic, you know, of course it's very important to go ahead and have a diagnostic done when you have an issue with your vehicle. You have a check engine light come on, or you're having an issue with the way it runs or drives, have the diagnostic done on that system for that. Now, that being said, you know, if you have issues, make sure you bring them up and tell the advisor what issues you're having, okay?
Right.
Because you know, just because you bring it in and say, okay, my check engine light's on. Well, okay, we look at that, and it's got a code in there for whatever, you know. And, you know, we check that system out, and, you know, we find the issue there. Well, that doesn't mean that you don't have a problem with your brakes or a problem with your power steering or a problem with your radio or the air conditioning system. You know, all these systems won't necessarily set a code, and there can be drivability or, you know, electronic bugs that don't necessarily set a code, but they'll be there, okay?
Right. Well, and on the behalf of our listeners, I mean, what, you just mentioned a lot of things, like air conditioning and drivability problems and all. Why wouldn't that show up on a diagnostic or give you a check engine light or what have you? Or, and
that sounds like we lost him again, but, you know, the thing is just because you hook to it, all the systems are not all tied together. They're tied together in a general way, but they're not all tied together specifically to where, you know, your air conditioning may not turn on a check engine light. It may set a trouble code in the ECM, the engine control, but it may not turn that light on. Your analog brakes more than likely will not turn on the check engine light. It may turn on the ABS light, which is your analog brake system light. Your transmission may very well turn on your check engine light, but it may not. You know, the radio, it's not going to turn on the check engine light, but it is on the data bus. There is communication where you can check it with a scan tool, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to automatically go in and look at your radio because you have a check engine light. So there's many different parts of that system. And I just had a instance with a friend of ours that had been to a local tire store. They checked her vehicle out, said it's just time for you to buy a new vehicle. Transmission's gone. It's just time for it to go. I'm good, and I'm not going to talk bad about the tire store. They've been here a long time, service a lot of people, do a great job. But that's not necessarily the place you go to get your drivability work done.
I don't believe I want a tire store telling me when I do and do not need a new vehicle, you know?
Right. You know, because, you know, and I drove it and checked it out. And yes, it's got two issues. One, it's got a spark plug that's bad, and two, it's got a U-joint that is fine driving down the road, but as you come to a stop and you get on the brakes, it rolls the rear end just enough to where that locked up U-joint actually causes a vibration as you're coming to a stop, you know, and it feels bad.
So that transmission turned out to be a U-joint.
Right.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I found nothing wrong with the transmission, so it's you got to be careful and be careful where you carry your vehicle to get it checked. You know, there's like I say, they do a great job in general maintenance. They do great, you know, but you know, when it comes to major mechanicals, I don't know if that's really where you need to be going to get your vehicle checked. You know, I've said it before. There's no place like the dealer or the manufacturer of what kind of vehicle you have to get one checked out, because we know the vehicles, see them every day. We know the quirks that they may have, the common failures, and it'll save you money in the long run for the simple fact that it won't take us near as long to find out what's wrong with the vehicle. So,
well, you know, that being said, Kev, I've had an occasion. I know a lady that took her car was running, every now and then it would act like it was running hot, but it didn't give you any heat factors. It never gave any smoke or steam or anything.
Right.
So the people at the tire store told her she had to have a new thermostat. Well, you know, new thermostat wound up being about $300-$400.
Mm-hmm.
Picked it up, drove it for about 30 minutes and come back and said it's doing the same thing. Oh, it must be a bad thermostat. So they supposedly replaced that. And she drove it again, had the same problem. Finally took it to the dealership and got it checked, and it was a temperature sensitive unit.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, you know, and I had an instance this past week where a car lot had sold a vehicle. They had done some repairs on it when they were reconditioning the car, and one of the things, it had a bad thermostat. No big deal. It came back, you know, the customer had taken it back to them. they said the thermostat that they had put in was bad. They put another thermostat in it. And then they brought it to us saying they had the same problem. They had already put two or three thermostats in it, saying that, you know, hey, it's still got the same problem. Well, we get it and open the hood. Of course, the first thing we notice, it does not have a radiator cap on it. And
oh, my God.
The system's wide open.
And, oh, no.
And the radiator's busted on it. It's like, oh, no, I'm sorry, the water pump is leaking. It's like,
oh, my Lord.
You gotta start with the common sense things. You know, you gotta plug all the leaks. Yeah.
Then yeah, you gotta go back to the basics, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and this is a reputable beer, you know, and they have their own repair facility that repairs and reconditions a bunch of cars, you know. But I think there was a little more to the story that maybe we didn't hear all of, but you know, you just gotta be careful, you know. And you know, if you got a Chevrolet or a GM product, bring it to a GM store, you know, to get checked. Yeah. But hey, it sounds like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Big wheels rolling, got to keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on. The white line is the lifeline to a nation. And men like Kix and Ronnie make it move. Living like a gypsy, always on the go. Doing what they best know how to do. Jamming gears has got to be a fever. Those men become addicted to the grind.
That's right.
It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man. And a steady hand to pull that load behind. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raymond, along with Tom Claxton. I guess this would be called the mobile version since I'm sitting in my truck, but I'm not driving, so I guess it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been on about three different ways of calling in. So.
Yeah, variety show tonight, I guess.
I think Ben Franklin did a pretty good job with his telephone, but I guess I need to get a newer model.
Yeah. You know, it's at least it's not a dial phone, so you know you're all right. You know, you're at least in the right era, right century. So
you know what? I wish the hell I had one of those. I would probably be trying to use it tonight.
It would probably work better, to be honest with you.
I know. Let's go back to your diagnostic. Is there any occasion where you would have more than one diagnostic fee, and if so, why?
Yeah, and there is. I mean, you know, basically what we're selling is time, okay? It's not necessarily the hooking it to a computer. It's not necessarily the, you know, the going for one test drive, whatever, you know, picking up, looking at one point. You know, if a car has multiple issues on multiple systems, you know, basically what you're paying for is you know, an hour's worth of our time, okay? If it's something that's going to take more than an hour, you know, to check, then, you know, there's going to be more charge for it, you know? You just have to, you know, and I tell people all the time, the only thing I have to sell is time, you know?
Right.
So, you know, we got to keep the doors open, got to keep things going. So, yeah, we have to charge accordingly. But so if you have a check engine light and, you know, I'm checking multiple things on for the check engine light, you may have 15 codes. And I had one the other day that had like 35 codes in it. So that obviously it takes a little while to narrow that down. But then you also have, say, a brake pulsation or a, you know, an AC that's not cooling properly. But you know the compressor's coming on. It's not a computer problem. It's something that's a refrigerant problem. So, you know, that is a different system that you have to go in and start all over and start diagnosing and chasing that down. So, all boils back down to time. Yeah,
Kev. One of the things that I think a lot of people don't understand is the fact that you have, we talk about having some of these vehicles have 30, 40, 50 computers on them or modules on these cars, and they don't realize that they don't all go into one supercomputer.
Right. You know, and even the ones that do have kind of a central computer, something they call a gateway module, it's really not, all it is the security point. It's trying to block anything from coming in that vehicle that can corrupt the vehicle. So, if you have communication systems like, the phone system on my truck here, or navigation system that's hooked to satellites where, things can communicate with the vehicle, they have to have some kind of protection from people trying to hack into them. Yeah. So that's really what that gateway is. So really all these modules are separate components. Yes, they talk together, but they operate independently. So
that could get involved in some additional diagnostic time.
And it does. But we try and keep it to a minimum. It's not a complete do-over for twice as much diagnostic if you got two systems down. Like I say, if it goes back into the time, we'll give you that initial hour diagnostic. We'll spend that hour on it, and if we can get everything checked out in that hour, hey, we're good to go. We can at least tell you about what we're going to have to do to figure out the rest of the problems. Because everything can't be done in an hour, unfortunately.
Yeah, let me throw this in there, Kev.
Uh-huh.
If you guys are working on one model of vehicle, I'm talking about a General Motors-made vehicle every day.
Right.
So you're seeing all these same-year vehicles coming in, and normally if one vehicle has a problem, you're going to see more of that same type vehicle to having the same problem. So therefore, you don't have to do, in a lot of occasions, do these 3 or 4 or 5 hour of searching, trying to figure out what it is. Where an independent shop that doesn't work on that same model every day,
he
would have that problem.
To a dealer that works and services the same kind of vehicle all the time, is that they do have that product knowledge that can save you time and save them time on finding out what's wrong. Yeah, even though you know going in that maybe, okay, I believe this is probably what's going on with your vehicle, we still have to go in and check things and verify, it does save you time from, having to start from scratch and go look for the problem. Yeah. It definitely is an advantage. Something else that kind of going down that road, and we see from time to time, and we've done it over the years, where customer will bring us a vehicle in and say, hey, I replaced the engine control module, I need you to program it for me. All well and good, I have no problem with doing it. But what we're running across nowadays on vehicles over the last 5 or 6 years, a lot of them you can't do that with a used module. You have to buy a new module. You cannot program the VIN number. You can't change the VIN number that's programmed into that computer. So you can't say the radio or the cluster or the ECM. You can't swap them. You have to get either a new or remanufactured module to start with and program that information in that module.
Yeah. There was very few vehicles that you could do that on anyway, from what I remember. as far as reprogramming
there was, a few things we could, the older computers, the ECM, engine control, that body controls were always kind of iffy. Sometimes you could, sometimes you couldn't. Radios you could swap as long as it was the right one, just because it looked the same didn't necessarily mean it was the right one, but they could be swapped and programmed for, but now they just absolutely lock you out. I mean, I can't tell you how many times over the last month or so I've had people bring me vehicles and say, hey, I changed the radio or I changed the body control or the OnStar module. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, you can't do that. Sorry.
Kevin and Tom, I think we got a couple callers on the line if you want to go to them now.
Oh, that'd be neat. Let's bring them on.
Sure, we can stretch the segment a little bit. Go ahead.
We could try Rapid Ray here first. Ray, you're on the phone.
Good evening, Ray. Mr. Kevin. Mr. Claxton, hello.
Hey, Ray, good to hear from you.
The same here. I have a quick question for you. What's the symptom if your hydro booster is going bad or is bad on your car or on your van?
It can do a couple things, Ray. Bad can mean several different things. The hydro boosts are bad about leaking, and they leak power steering fluid when they do because it's driven off the power steering system. So you'll get that fluid leak out of them. Very rarely do you have one that will not make boost as long as the power steering fluid is full and the power steering pump works. So there's really, I'm not going to say that I've never seen one fail to make boost, but, as long as everything else is working, but, anything is possible.
Right. Mine has a little bit of leak,
It does have a leak.
It does have a leak, and I've been adding power steering fluid to it.
Yeah, and that's what's going on. That's the most common failure of the hydro boost systems. They work great. They do a good job of stopping the vehicles, but they will start leaking eventually.
Yes, sir. Well, I just wanted to say something. I really appreciate your dedication and Mr. Claxton's dedication to. Even in this situation, y'all still doing this great service to the community.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate it, Ray. And I know you're out there helping people every day, and we appreciate what you do through the Goodwill system there. But, it's we all just have to do what we can and move forward. It's these are the times that define you, so... you have to, step up or step out of the way, one or the other.
Yes. Well, I know you are very busy, and I enjoy your show every week. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks for calling. But if you want to put this, we'll go ahead and get our other caller on that one. Didn't take all long.
All right. Frank, you're on the line.
Okay. What can we do for you?
Hey, Kevin. Great show tonight. I just want to say that my interior light switch, when I turn it, I got a 01 GMC Sierra. When I roll it up to turn the interior light on, it don't work. But the light will work if I open the door, and if I roll it down, it'll turn the dash lights off. It just doesn't work when I roll it up and want to turn the interior light on. I do have the map lights. They work. It's not a big deal. I was just wondering what it could be.
It could very easily be that switch. If it's working with the door, does that one, well, and even if it did, sometimes there's a switch up on the overhead console that will give you the door off or on mode, and if it does, then that's how you control it instead of the switch on the dash. But most of those, you do roll them up and it turns the interior lights on. And if everything is working when you open the doors, more than likely it's going to be in that switch itself. but it's something I would have to look at to see if you're getting that signal out of that switch before I recommend.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, I don't know if pull aparts or something is open or where, you know I can get a new switch from the parts house or somewhere in the dealership, but, you know, I was just curious about that myself.
Yeah, you know, and like a pull apart place, I think they are open. So, you know, they're keeping all those places open as part of the transportation, you know, and repair industry. So, so those places have had the ability to stay open and keep taking care of their customers.
Well, I just want to say also, as I want to say, like the last caller said, that I appreciate you and Tom's service to the community, and especially Tom's service to the country, and thank y'all.
Yep. I do appreciate it. Yes, I know we're going to have to take a break here, but I do appreciate everybody listening, and hope all our listeners are staying safe and keeping their distance and trying to move on as best they can. So we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
There ain't no secret about that.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. And speaking of text, I think we got one, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do have a text here. Mark from Mobile, he says he's got an 09 Chevy 2500 6.0 Vortec. He said the service stable track flashes on the dash. Could that keep his cruise control from operating? He said code says steering wheel position sensor needs replacing. Should that correct his problem?
More than likely, yeah. Steering sensor the stability system can keep the cruise control from working. Not always, but it just really depends. You know, if you got a steering sensor code and nothing has been changed on the steering system, and the steering wheel is centered going down the road, which is a key point, then the sensor is probably bad. Now, and it's not just as simple as just putting the sensor in. You have to calibrate it once you get it in, and you have to be very careful how you put them in. But it's, you know, you really have to get in there and find out, see what it's actually reading, and go from there. You know, the steering... A lot of times what I see is someone has either lined the front end up and the steering wheel's off center, or they've hit something and bent something, and running down the road, the steering wheel's off center. Well, what it's looking for is when all the yaw rate sensor, which is basically the trim of the vehicle, is it running true down the road, or is it in a turn or whatever, it senses the motion of the vehicle. And if the steering wheel is centered and that shows it's going straight, all the wheel speed sensors show that they're going the same speed, then it knows the world is good and the road's straight and everything's good. If it senses everything is going straight but the steering wheel's off center, then it's going to throw that steering sensor code. So you just have to be careful, and you know, usually I'll start asking questions. Has anyone worked on the vehicle? Has the steering shaft been unhooked for any reason? There's a lot of things to take into account when you have that code. But hey, that's a good starting point for sure. Dom, you still with us?
Hell yeah. But Kevin, that being said, you know, back in the day when we had all these heavy steel components on our front end and heavy steel upper and lower A-frames, we didn't bend as much stuff then as we do now, but we find that most all of these cars have some aluminum struts and aluminum upper and lower A-frames. So you can just hit a hole or something out, you know, pothole in the road, and you can get something bent a lot easier now than you could in the older days.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like anything else. They're lightening the vehicles up. The ones that are the big machine aluminum spindles and that, and control arms, those are still pretty daggum strong. But what we're finding that bends more often are the stamped steel control arms and spindles that are basically hollow inside, and they're stamped steel and welded together. They're light and they're stable, but they don't take that much of abuse. Yeah,
right.
We get a lot of that with them, and you know, it doesn't take a whole lot. I've seen cars that didn't take a whole lot of hit, that, you know, it had some pretty significant suspension damage. Yeah.
Right. Well, a lot of things that we're seeing now, too, Kev, is the fact that we don't have grease joints in our upper and lower ball joints in that part of our vehicles and those wear points. So a lot of times we get some excessive wear in there, and we wouldn't realize that that's really there until you start getting some handling characteristics.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's one of my pet peeves also, I guess, is that, you know, there's so many people nowadays that do not know, and I'm talking about technicians, that do not know how to properly inspect a front end, because it's all about, you know, they jack it up and they're supported by the lower control arm, and they're trying to shake it down for wear. It's like, well, you're probably, unless it's totally broken too, you'll never find it. So yeah, you got to figure out how to unload that suspension to check the
right
the wear and the components. So you got to know what kind of front end you're working with, what kind of suspension components you're working with, and what would be acceptable and what's not. Yeah.
Well, that goes back to all of the training that you guys get at the dealership as well, though.
Yeah, and that's, you know, part of why I'm there too, is to, you know, show the younger guys as they're coming along, you know, and that's something we were talking about today, just, you know, where our next part of our new class of technicians is going to be coming from, you know, in the not too distant future. You know, there's the cars are way more technically advanced, and it's just going to be more and more of that as we go. So it takes someone that is technically inclined and computer oriented to do this job now, to where a lot of those people, you know, they would go into some kind of office job or computer job or something like that. Well, you know, we need those people in our industry as well. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Literate.
You know, it really is. You know, we throw different things out, and you know, even talking about, you know, manufacturers someday coming to a point where they sounds like it's time for us to end the show, but I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and I want to remind everybody to stay safe and be well, and hopefully we'll be back in the studio next weekend.
Amen. And to all of our first responders and our veterans out there, big old hoorah.
16 miles this side of Mississippi.
Whoa, hold it.
I just passed another Kojak with a Kodak.